On the Billboard music charts of 2019, rock and roll is barely making a dent. But it doesn't look like Hollywood's gotten the memo based on several major releases from the past couple years.
Bismillah, no, we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah.
Bohemian Rhapsody, about the life of Freddie Mercury and Queen, was a massive hit last year, grossing over $900 million worldwide. Summer, the Elton John biopic Rocket Man has been a more modest success, bringing in around $160 million globally. And now the filmmakers behind Yesterday are hoping that Beatlemania is still kicking nearly 50 years after the Beatles released their final album, but this film isn't telling the story of the Fab Four. Instead, it's set in a world where nobody remembers the band ever existed, except for Jack, played by Himesh Patel. Yesterday follows Jack as he attempts to become a rock star by presenting classics like Hey Jude and Let It Be as his own songs.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking...
Sorry, love, I'll get it.
Good start, though. Very pretty.
I have a couple film critics with me here in the studio to discuss these movies and whether any of them are as good as their soundtracks. Rafer Guzman is the film critic for Newsday and for us here at The Takeaway. Hey, Rafer.
Hey, how are you?
Great. And Karen Hahn is an entertainment reporter for Polygon. Thanks for being here, Karen.
Hey, lovely to be here.
All right, Rafer, I mentioned the premise of Yesterday, which requires a certain suspension of disbelief from the audience. Did you buy into the plot device?
Well, I think you might get sort of two different kinds of people that are going to appreciate Yesterday. I think one is your casual rock fan, music fan, someone who knows the Beatles like the way most people do, and they sort of enjoy the idea that the Beatles could suddenly vanish and that one guy could be able to pass off, you know, that this great, 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 you know, canon of songs as his own work. I think if you're a sort of a amateur Beatles buff like I am, a former rock critic, your mind kind of can't start helping but go to these sort of detailed places like, okay, now wait, are you saying that in that case, Pet Sounds wouldn't exist either by the Beach Boys because that means Rubber Soul wouldn't exist and so on. You know, what about Tommy by The Who? Mm-hmm. Does that mean we're getting rid of all of, you know, popular music? So if you're kind of a cranky, you know, old rocker like myself, I think you're going to get a little caught up in the details. But I still think it's a pretty fun, sweet, enjoyable film.
You liked it. All right. How about you, Karen? Not so much.
Unfortunately, no. I really do like the premise. I think it's very like weird and funny. But at the same time, I had a little bit of the cranky response to it where I was like, I don't think they've necessarily thought out all the ramifications that this would have. But even beyond that, I feel like a lot of the problems with the movie stem from the fact that it's kind of pulling from a rom-com playbook that's at least two decades old. Not to give too much away, but it is a very kind of will they, won't they situation where Jack's manager is his childhood best friend. They've known each other for 20 years and she's obviously romantically interested in him. Just the fact that she's been clinging to this for 20 years and all it takes is this one turnaround to kind of justify how much time she spent on him and really how poorly that he's treated her because she's driven him to gigs because he can't drive. She's carried all his gear around and she's basically devoted her life to him. The better part of her life to him with kind of no dividends on that.
All right. So the director, Danny Boyle, directed Yesterday, is also known for movies like Trainspotting, Slumdog Millionaire. Visually, what's he doing to capture the songs in this movie?
I think that might be one objection that I had is this doesn't seem like Danny Boyle's strongest effort. Danny Boyle is, I think, maybe in his mid-50s, and he comes from more of a punk and post-punk background, which is why I think Trainspotting works so well. I mean, that was such a decade-defining, generation-defining mm-hmm. movie. I think in this film, he is trying to be a little jaunty and light, and you get some kind of funny tilted angles here and there. And you know, and
funny
you get,
tilted angles.
Yeah. You know, I sort of noticed that. Like, I remember kind of thinking, like, why are we at a tilt on this particular, you know, moment? I don't know, really. It adds a little energy. I thought he might have played around a little bit more with some of the Beatles tropes, like, you know, like Hard Day's Night with all that kind of fast motion, antic jumping and running and stuff that the Beatles did. There's not that much going on here visually, I guess I would say.
And he's got pretty big shoes to fill, given Julie Taymor directed Across the Universe, which is not that long ago. I guess it depends on how old you are. But that was visually a stunning film, which, I mean, I really did love that film. Karen, are you a fan of that film? Have you seen it?
I will admit I haven't seen it recently, but I remember when I saw it when it came out, I was absolutely blown away by the visuals, which is, as Rafer was saying, kind of one of the things that lets Yesterday down. There's not that much going on very interestingly. And I feel like part of that has to do with the fact that the music is almost incidental. It's the gimmick that something has disappeared and this romantic comedy is built around it that's at the center. Whereas something like Rocket Man, for instance, is a musical and the musical numbers do kind of take precedence over everything else.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, there is, I guess, a story to be told about the star of Yesterday, Himesh Patel. Filmmakers have said his casting was colorblind, which means that they didn't actually specify the race of the character in the script or the auditions. Karen, how big a deal is this?
I think it's a pretty big deal in so much as this is one of the first times that at least I've seen a blockbuster where a person of color is the lead and also presented as a romantic interest without kind of any trappings around that to qualify it. And I also think it's a big deal that in reading the reviews that my peers have written, nobody who, say, like me, dislike the movie has pointed at him as like the problem of it. He's terrific and everyone uniformly seems to agree that he really is a star.
Is his background, or should his character's racial cultural background, the fact that this is a South Asian man, British Indian, I guess, do you think that should have been made, played up more in terms of the plot of this movie, Rafer?
I don't really think it would have had any bearing on it. There are moments when you think to yourself that maybe they could have done something a little cute, given the Beatles, you know, Maharishi phase, something like that. But I think that was probably a wise choice on the filmmaker's part not to go there, even if it had been something that was, you know, fairly good-natured or just kind of cheeky or just kind of sly. I think it works better without any of that stuff. I think it works better as him just being, you know, kind of a middle-class English kid. You know, we do see his parents. We heard them in the clip earlier that you played, where he's trying to play Let It Be, and people keep coming over, and the doorbell keeps ringing, and no one's you know, sort of bowled over by the majesty of Let It Be. They just sort of keep going on with their day, and he's trying to play it for him. His two parents are there, so you know that he's from what seems to be maybe immigrant parents. But that's all that's touched on, really. They could really be, you know, anyone's annoying parents of any ethnicity, really. And I think that's a good thing. I think that was a good move on the film's part.
As I mentioned earlier, Yesterday is part of a recent rock movie trend of sorts. Why do you think Hollywood is going back to music from the 60s and 70s right now? Is it just the boomers who are showing up at theaters?
You know, I think it's one of these things where I think the boomers still have a bit of a stranglehold on Hollywood. You know, if you're a successful screenwriter, director, producer, chances are you're of a certain age and also quite possibly male. And that means you're probably a rocker. This is the stuff that you grew up on. And it's funny, too, because there's been, even beyond the 60s and 70s, there's been a kind of a trend of rock and pop movies in general. Her Smell by Alex Ross Perry, Teen Spirit, Vox Lux with Natalie Portman, Wild Rose, which just came out, I think, last week. It's a little odd that this whole wave has been going, especially, you know, as you said, rock music in particular, it really seems to be on the decline. I mean, only Ed Sheeran, who's actually in Yesterday, seems to be surviving really well, you know. But I, you know, to answer your question, I do think it's kind of a boomer thing. I think, you know, they're still the ones in power. That's why we're seeing all these rock docs, you know, about Bob Dylan and Leonard Cohen and David Crosby. I mean, it's all still coming out, I think, because they're the ones who are calling the shots.
So basically, a lot of guys that we're seeing on screen. Who are some women whose music you think Hollywood should be taking on?
Well, one of the interesting things to come out of the Rocketman press tour has been that director Dexter Fletcher expressed interest in doing, say, a Madonna biopic, which I think could be incredible given the right, I guess, massaging. And kind of, I guess, to harken back to Rafer's point, I do think it's partially an overall wave of cultural nostalgia, which is kind of taking over both film and TV. Things like Stranger Things or even just the soundtrack of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, they're all harkening back 40, 50 years to pull from what we remember of that time.
All right, so both Bohemian Rhapsody and Rocketman, about Elton John's life, they're both made with the permission of their still living subjects. Karen, first, does this make these films less compelling because they're authorized?
I don't think it makes them any less compelling because they're authorized. I think it really just has to do with how they tackle the subject matter. Like, Rocketman is, you can tell that Elton John has had a hand in it, but it's still great. Not so much so for Bohemian Rhapsody, even though the music is still good.
Yeah, you know, Rocketman, I actually thought surprisingly benefited from Elton John's insights. You know, the one thing I thought was great in that film was this idea of Elton John sort of never being able to get over the wounds to his inner child, which I think really resonate through that film. And I think that's because Elton John probably really, you know, told the filmmakers that this was a big deal to him. And I think that worked actually pretty well in the film. Unlike, let's say, in Bohemian Rhapsody, which I think worked less well because of Queen's involvement. But yeah, I liked Rocketman for that reason.
Rafer Guzman is a film critic for Newsday and us here at The Takeaway, and Karen Hahn is an entertainment reporter for Polygon. Thank you both for talking with me.
Thank you.
Thanks.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.